was you know, very special Talmud Chacham and teacher of Torah in Yerushalayim, and his son, who's the current Slonim Rebbe, wrote up his Shabbos, you know, Divrei Torah, and they really are you know, pretty classic in terms of the ideas and the perspective. But a very nice feature of the way he wrote them up is that he really explains things at length. You know, in a lot of works, sometimes something like the Sfas Emes or other such works, the ideas are in very, very short sentences. And you're not sure, did you really get it? Because it's really just a set of notes. But here there's a real write-up. So just if you know Hebrew, it's pretty easy to get the gist of the idea. So let's learn a piece from the Nesivos Shalom on this week's Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach. And it's a fascinating issue that he discusses. As we know, in this week's Parsha, the Jewish people get out of Egypt, and the Torah says that even though there was a short path to the land of Israel, Derech Eretz Plishtim, Lo Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim, Hashem refused to lead the Jews through that short path, Ki Karov Hu, even though it was close, Ki Amar Elokim Peninachema Ambiro Samil Chama V'Shavu Mitzrayma, that people might right away have to deal with war and struggle, and they'll panic, they'll give up, they'll change their mind, and they'll go back to Egypt, and therefore, Vayasev Elokim Asam Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf, Hashem takes the people in a more roundabout way down towards the Red Sea. And as we know, the people go to the Red Sea, then Hashem says, Dabro Bnei Yisrael V'yashuvu V'yachanu L'fnei Piachiros, they should turn back. They should camp in front of Piachiros, Bein Migdol, Uvein Ayam, Lefnei Baal Tzifon. They should camp in front of this idol, Baal Tzifon. And Paro, as Rashi explains, is going to say, well, you know, the idol Baal Tzifon didn't fall. All the other idols fell during Makas Bechoros. This idol didn't fall. The Jews are scared. He's holding them up. He's still there. And I can, you know, channel his power in order to harm the Jews. And Paro comes out with his armies and chases the Jewish people, and one day he accomplishes what the Jews took them 6 days to accomplish, and he's right behind the Jews, and Hashem puts the cloud and the fire behind the Jews to protect the Jews from Paro's arrows and soldiers. And then in the next morning, and Moshe and the people are davening, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Matitzak Eli, what are you screaming at me for? Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'yiso, command the Jewish people, they should travel. And the Jewish Moshe does so, he puts out his staff, the water split, the Jews go into the water. So let's look here at the Nesivos Shalom, and what a obvious question. Hamefarshim hikshu, all the commentators struggle. Al omro matitzak elai, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is page Kuf Dalet, what are you screaming at me for? What do you mean, what are you screaming at me for? V'chimai yesh liyudi la'asos k'shub b'mitzuka kazu k'mo shar Yisrael al hayam, im lo litzok al Hashem yizbarach. K'mai marakasav min ha'meitzar karasika, madu amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu matitzak elai. How can we understand this? Isn't this the most healthy and the most appropriate response when we are in crisis? That's the time to daven. We say in Tehillim, min ha-meitzar, karasika. What does the word meitzar mean? Meitzar is a narrow strait. When we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, karasika, then I call out to you, Hashem. The Jewish people are stuck in the ultimate meitzar. They have the sea in front of them, they have Paro and his army behind them, and they're in a state of panic. So they are davening to Hashem. That's wonderful. They should daven to Hashem. Moshe's davening to Hashem. And Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, matitzak elai, what are you davening to me for? Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. What could be better than davening when Yaakov is faced with the crisis of Esav? Yaakov davens. Whenever we have a crisis, we daven. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to appeal to Hashem. Without tefillah, we can't go anywhere. So what is this that Hashem is rejecting Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah? And furthermore, he says, instead, just travel. How is that better than davening? Further question. If we go back to Parsha Shmos, the Torah tells us in Parsha Shmos that Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, that Paro died and a new king took over. Rashi says it doesn't mean that he died, it means that he got tzaras, because a Mitzora is considered dead. And then Vayizaku Bnei Yisrael Min HaAvodah, the Jewish people scream out to God in great travails because of the hard work. So Rashi explains that once Paro got tzaras, he started to slaughter Jewish babies. The Medrash said he would slaughter 200 babies a day, and he would spill their blood into his bathtub, and he would bathe himself in the blood of Jewish babies to try to alleviate somewhat all the scars that were on his skin from the tzaras. And the Jewish people call out to Hashem, and right after the Jewish people call out to Hashem, the Torah says, Hashem appears to Moshe in the burning bush, and Hashem tells Moshe, go save the Jews, Shamati es bnei Yisrael, I've heard the cries of the Jewish people. So we got out of Egypt, it started with tefillah, it started with prayer. So now that we get to the Yam Suf, Hashem says, don't daven. Davening was the key. Harebi Yitzias Mitzrayim Atzma, leaving Egypt, Kol Ha'aschalta de Geula, the beginning of the redemption. Ha'isami Koach, Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, V'yishma Hashem Es Koleinu. It all started, the ball of redemption started when we called out to Hashem and he heard our cries. So now, Madu Akan, why now when we are a week away from leaving Egypt? Ne'emar, Hashem says, Matitzak Elai, what are you davening for? How could there be something wrong with davening? In general, we always want to daven, but certainly these Jews have been benefiting from davening. So why would Hashem be telling them, okay, it worked for you 10 months ago, but now no, now what are you davening for? Now it's time to travel. Of course, what are we davening for? We need Hashem's help. So Rav Chaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ben Atar, the Rav Chaim explains, Kimidas Hadin Alo Kitriga Halalu Vahalalu Ovdi Avodah Zarah. The Midrashim explain, and Rashi quotes it, that when the sea split, the sea was actually angry. That the waters of the sea that stood up as walls to allow the Jews to walk through on dry land were angry, they wanted to come crashing down. Why did they want to come crashing down? Because they said, these people that are walking through, they're idol worshippers. They're no better than the Egyptians. Halalu ovdi avodah zarah, v'halalu ovdi avodah zarah. The Jewish people really didn't deserve miracles. Therefore, says the Aruch Chaim, lo haya dai b'koach harachamim lidchos es hakitruk. To pray, they would not have been effective. So if we go back to the very etymology of the word tefillah, the word tefillah, the Ramban tells us, is connected to the phrase v'nasan biflilim, and he will present it in before the court. In modern Hebrew also, the word plilim is the word for crime. So if you go to the website of Yediot Achronot and you look at the plilim section, that's the section about crime. The word plila is judgment. Prayer is really an appeal to the attribute of judgment. And what it really is that Hashem should have mercy within his judgment. Think of the example of Avraham with Sodom, where the appeal of Avraham to Hashem to save Sodom is actually mixed with an appeal to justice. Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaaseh mishpat, will the judge of earth not do that which is just? Lahamis tzadikim rasha, to make the righteous die with the wicked. But you say to yourself, but then what's Avram asking? He's not saying to Hashem, just save the righteous. He's actually saying, save the wicked because of the righteous. That's also not just. It's not just that the wicked get away with something just because they're next to the righteous. But that's the nature of prayer. The nature of prayer is to actually stand before justice and to appeal that there should be mercy within justice.
You're saying in the animal kingdom, his mode.
Right.
So there's no mercy there.
Right.
So that's justice for justice.
Right. And prayer is the appeal within justice Let there be mercy in justice.
So if it's in the Yud Kei Vav Kei mode,
right,
then there's a chance,
right,
for mercy.
Right, right. So, but
what you're saying is here?
No, so what we're saying is that all prayer entails making a judicial claim, you know, on some level of justice, and then extending from the judicial claim to a claim of mercy. But you can't start if you don't even have the judicial claim, right? If there aren't even 10 righteous people in Sodom, there's nothing to talk about. But if there are 10 righteous people, well, then there should be mercy. Those 10 deserve to be saved. Because they deserve to be saved, there should be mercy that everybody should be saved. So the Ora Chaim is saying when the Jewish people are standing at the Yam Suf, there's no beginning here. There's no justice that would enable us, based on justice, to be saved and then to move from justice into mercy and rachmanos. Because alalu ov di avodah zarah, alalu ov di avodah zarah. The Jews are worshipping idols, the same way the Egyptians are worshipping idols. So prayer can't be effective when there's no claim here, when there's nothing to begin, you know, with the concepts of justice. So let's see, what's the alternative to prayer? So the Or HaChaim says, that's what Hashem is saying. Prayer is to try to arouse mercy with injustice, but when you have a very compelling prosecution, there's an overwhelmingly compelling indictment with, you know, lots of, you know, grand jury testimony and presumption of guilt, so prayer just can't get going. You can't get going. You know, the first part of prayer is to advocate, and then, okay, now that there's some basis here, now have rachmanos and do even more. But if there's no basis for midas hadin to forgive anything, because halalu ov de'avodah zarah, so prayer can't work. So what could work even beyond prayer? So this is what the Or HaChaim said. Lo hayadai b'koach harachamim litchoses hakitrug. The power of mercy, which is what prayer is, was not enough to push aside the claims of prosecution. So therefore, v'zeh amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you screaming for? What are you praying to me for? She'im ki chafitzani lazor li'Yisrael. You know, I want to help the Jewish people. Of course. V'lasos lehem nes. And I want to do for them miracles. But because they are so not deserving, lo dai b'tzaka, a scream, a heartfelt prayer will not be enough. Keneged midas hadin amonas, when it's up against the attribute of justice, which is so powerful, and it's preventing any mercy here. So therefore, what's the alternative? V'amar Elav, Hashem tells him, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yisau, and they should travel into the sea. Pirush, the meaning is like this, Zos ha'etza hayu'utza li'Yisrael. This is the advice which can be given to the Jewish people. They're facing grave danger. She'yit'atznu be'emuna b'chal libam. They should strengthen themselves and amplify their feelings of emuna with all of their heart. V'yisu el hayam, and travel into the sea. Kodem sheyechalek, even before the sea divides. Al smacha bitachon, based on trust. Ki ani osalohem nes, that I will do for them a miracle. Ubekoach ha'emuna, through the power of emuna, v'habitachon hazeh, and this sense of trust, yisgaber koach harachamim, that will arouse mercy, lahamshech es hanes hagadol shel kriyas yamsuf, to bring the unbelievable miracle of the splitting of the sea. So what the Nesiv HaShalom is suggesting here is really an amazing, amazing idea, which is that the Jewish people were facing a crisis, so we wanted to arouse mercy. The typical way to arouse mercy is through prayer. But the guilty person who has so many angels advocating against him will not be able to arouse mercy with prayer. So Hashem says prayer is not going to work. But there's something that's even more powerful than prayer. And that could arouse mercy. And what is even more powerful than prayer is an extraordinarily strong feeling of emuna in Hashem. To explain this a little bit, many times in Tehillim we find that the Jewish people are compared to sheep. Nohei katzon Yosef. He leads like the sheep of Joseph. Why are the Jewish people compared to sheep? Because the sheep are a creature that's extremely vulnerable and extremely dependent. The sheep is dependent on the shepherd for everything. The shepherd has to fight off the wolves. The shepherd has to lead the sheep to where there's something to graze. The sheep themselves are docile, and they are extraordinarily dependent and in need of their shepherd to take care of them. So David HaMelech says, Am Yisrael are like sheep, and we absolutely need Hashem. And we're completely dependent on him. In the same way, when you interact with a baby, you know the baby can't fend for itself and couldn't find for itself food and, or shelter or a place to sleep. There's an overwhelming sense of mercy for that baby. Why is there such a deep love for the baby? What did the baby do for me? It's not that the baby did anything for me. The baby needs me. And the baby's dependent on me. And I know that that baby can't survive without me. And that arouses a tremendous sense of mercy. When the Jewish people feel we are in the hands of Hashem, we trust Hashem, we are completely in His hands, and He loves us, and we feel secure because He loves us, that arouses that mercy, where Hashem says, you are my sheep, you're my babies, you feel so dependent on me, you need me. You can't figure it out on your own. You couldn't advocate for it on your own. You're completely dependent on me. Well, that alone is a source of tremendous mercy. When the Jewish people display enormous mercy, enormous faith, that can arouse rachamim, even in a time when prayer couldn't arouse rachamim. The Chazon Ish has a little book called Emuno Bitachon, Faith and Trust. And he begins Emuno Bitachon with the following, you know, very powerful statement. Midas Emuna, the attribute of faith, he netia daka. It's a subtle, abstract inclination, me adinus hanefesh, from a delicate soul. That's a very powerful statement that the Chazon Ish is saying. You know, many times there are those who present faith as being some type of a logical, theorem. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. If I think and I touch and I feel, I must exist. Right? There are certain logical theorems. So a logical statement is everything that I deal with that has a lot of sophistication and intelligence and wisdom came from an intelligent creator. Well, the world as a whole has a lot of wisdom. Otherwise, there would be no point to science. But the whole idea that we could discover rules of physics or rules of chemistry or rules of biology shows that there's a certain logic that can be discerned. So that means that the world is a wisdom-filled item. So the world is like any other wisdom-filled item. It must be that it came from a creator. That's faith. That's one perspective, that faith is a logical sort of series of points. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. Chazon Ish doesn't say that. He doesn't say faith comes from the mind. He says faith is a delicate, abstract inclination of a delicate soul. And what he's saying is that there are certain feelings that a soul has. There's a feeling of generosity that a soul has. It loves to give. There's a feeling of honesty, certain enjoyment of truth, that a soul enjoys the truth, that the truth liberates. It just loves it. There's a certain pleasure in sharing the truth. The soul has a feeling, and that feeling is called faith. It's a delicate feeling. There are those who can go through life, and they're coarse people. They've never come into contact with that feeling called faith. But that's what faith really is. Faith is a mida. It's an attribute of the nefesh, of the soul. And there are those who can further and amplify feelings. You know, they can feel a lot of love or a lot of, chas v'shalom, the opposite, anger or hatred. And people who are, you know, emotionally intelligent, they can amplify the emotion of emuna, the emotion of faith and trust in Hashem. Im ha'adam u'ba'al nefesh, if a person is a soulful person, v'sha'ato sha'at hashket, and he has a moment of tranquility, of clarity. Chafshi mira'avon ta'avoni, he's free from the hungers of desires. Ve'eino marhiva mimachaze shamayim larom, and he looks at the heights of the heavens, and he's, wow! Va'aretz la'omek, he sees the depths of the earth, and he feels, wow! Hunirgash v'nidham, he gets all emotionally aroused and just awed. Ki ha'olam nidmeh lefanav k'chidas tumah. He looks at a world and he sees this hidden riddle. K'musa v'nifla, it is wondrous and secret. Hachida zot melafefet et levavo mocho, this riddle of the world embraces or strokes his heart and his mind. V'hu kimit aleif, and he feels like he's panting, that he's out of breath. Lo nishar bo ruach hayim, he doesn't have the ability to live. Bilti alachida kol ma'ayano magamato, he just wants to understand this riddle. V'dat pitrona kalta nafsho, and his soul is desperate to know the answer to the riddle. V'nivchar lo lavo ba'eshu v'mayim b'shvila, he's willing to go through fire and water to understand this riddle. Ki ma'lo v'lach hayim, what is life for him? If the pleasant life is hidden from him, and his heart is swirling and turning, longing to understand the secret, to understand its root, and the gates are all locked. This delicate soul, all these wounds have not been bandaged. He looks around the world and he understands that this world was designed, this world was built. Ki'ilu mahandes chacham, he sees in this world a very wise engineer. Tzir lefanav et ha'olam, who designed and built the world, b'terem nivra, before he was created. U'pagabi yikuvim machrim al kol shal v'shal, aval mirtzo ha'gadol amad lo la'asir kol ha'michshalim achat la'achat. And there may have been all sorts of obstacles in building this great machine called the world, and yet he overcame them. U'ma ne'edar mar'eh, he looks at this amazing vision. What an amazing design of making a human being. And he looks at a human being, right? How could you build a human being without understanding all sorts of other creatures and putting in them, putting things from them into the human being? And he looks at the eye. What an amazing machine. Kama mina chachma yesh ba'ayin. How much wisdom there is in the eye. Lo tiz ba'ayin lirot v'ozom lishmoa. What the eye sees, what the ear hears. V'dor achar dor yosifu chachamim l'da'at. And look at how much wisdom is there about the eye, generation after generation. U'nevonim lahavin et otzarei hachochma tzfona b'yitzirat ha'ayin v'tachlita lo igiyu. And he looks at all the wisdom that's in the eye and how many books have been written about the eye, and they still don't understand everything about the eye. And he says to himself, there must be a creator behind all of this. And he feels an enormous amount of trust in that creator. Emuna is a feeling. We find in Megillas Esther, the pasuk says about Mordechai, Vayehi omein es Hadassah. He had adopted his niece Hadassah. He was raising her. He was her adopted father. Very similar to the word emuna. Emuna is a feeling that Hashem is my father. Hashem is taking care of me. I'm in his hands. He's the creator. So that's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says here so powerfully. The Jewish people tried to arouse mercy through prayer. But because we were sinful people, just like the Egyptians, we couldn't arouse mercy through prayer. So Hashem tells Moshe there's something that is even more powerful in arousing mercy. Strengthening your feeling of emuna in Hashem. Strengthening your feeling that Hashem is in charge and you're dependent on Him and He's the Creator and He's all-powerful and He makes wonders and He will make wonders and He loves you and He's taking care of you. And the more you feel that, the more you are arousing mercy. And in this crisis, that's the type of mercy that will work. That's what you have to do.
Is this on a personal level, or is this because this was a communal?
I think he would argue it's true personally too. Personally too, that when we strengthen our feelings of emuna and trust in Hashem and bitachon in Hashem, that itself arouses the mercy, as much as prayer does. As much as prayer does. So if we continue now in the Nesivo Shalom, Ha'inyan Bezeh, the idea here, we have an Eicha, where Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, I want to pray, but God has sealed my prayers. That's why on Tisha B'Av the halacha is that in many ways we don't pray. We don't wear tefillin in the morning. We don't say some of the minig, not to say Kaddish Tiskabel, not to say Tiskabel Tzolosan, let our prayers be accepted, because we are Aveilim and Hashem has sealed off our prayers. Sha'atfilot mu'ukavot mila'alot lama'ala. The prayers are stopped from getting above. Ukmamar akasav, as the verse says, Elokai ekra yomam velo ta'aneh, God, I call by day, but you don't answer, v'layla, and at night, v'lo dumi yali, it's not silent for me. Ach yesh koach sheshum kitrug eino omid b'fanav. Even when prayer is sealed, there's a power that no one can stop. No prosecuting angel. V'hu koach habitachon. That's the power of trusting God. Kasher Yehudi boteach berachmei shamayim. When a Jew trusts God's love, shelamrot godel akitruk, that despite the depths of the claims against the Jew, Yerachameo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will have compassion upon him. Kirachem avel banim, like a father has compassion on children. Koach habitachon hazeh, that strong feeling of trust, omeid b'chol ha-matzavim, can be used and is effective in all situations. Well, zerech de'isa b'medrash shocher tov. There's a very powerful medrash that clarifies this thought. The pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 25, Elokai, my God, b'cha batachti, in you I trusted, al evosha, and therefore I will not be embarrassed or ashamed. Says the Medrash, what does it mean, I trusted you and that's why I won't be embarrassed? It was a story with a guest who came to the capital city and he was sleeping out on the streets. Mitzau shomrei ha-melech, the guards of the king found this vagabond. Ubikshu lakoto, they wanted to beat him up. Amar lehem, he said to them, al takuni, don't hit me. Shami bnei beit ha-melech ani, I'm from the king's palace. I am, you know, I'm one of the king's men. I don't know, I'm the winemaker or the butler. You know, I work for the king. Okay. Himtinu ador haboker, they waited for the morning. Volichu lefnei ha-melech, they brought him before the king. Amar lo ha-melech. The king said to him, Akira ta'oti, do you recognize me? Amar lo lav, he said, no, I've never seen you before. Vimkein heyachata ben beiti, so how did you use my name to say that you were working for the Secret Service or you're part of the White House? You know, you never even saw me. Amar lo, so this visitor said to him, Eini ben beitcha, I haven't worked for you. Ela batachti b'chazdecha, but I trusted your love, and I trusted your generosity. She'im omar shemi b'nei beit ha-melech ani, if I would say that I belong to the king, and because I belong to the king, therefore people should have rachmanis on me, because this king is a rachman, he's a compassionate person. Terachim alai, I knew that I could trust you. I knew that you're the magnanimous king. You're the one who forgives. And if I could only get in front of you, the policeman would already be mochel. Amalam HaMelech, so the king says, Ho'elu bi batach, he's relying on me. Hanichulo, so therefore let him go. Kach Amar David, that's what David HaMelech says. Elokai, my God, b'cha batachti, I trusted you. Ali Vosha, therefore I should not be ashamed. Not that there is really a reason for me to get off scot-free, but the reason is that I'm trusting you, and I'm linking myself to you, and I'm dependent on you, and that arouses Hashem's rachamim. That arouses His mercy. Kein matzinu be'Esther Amalka. We find this with Esther. Chapter 24 of Tehillim. Gemara explains in Maseches Megillah that when Esther was about to go to the king, Nistalka himena shechina, she lost the divine presence. She lost the feeling of Ruach HaKodesh. She lost the shechina that was around her. But what did she do? She kept on going. How did she keep on going? Hichzika b'koach habitachon. She held on to a sense of trust in Hashem. And that's the pasuk. Even after the pasuk, God, I called you by day and you're not answering at night, you're not responsive to me. In you our ancestors trusted. Batru, they trusted. Vatfaltemo, and you saved them. In you they trusted. V'lo voshu, and they were not ashamed. Well, Yedezen, through this, Himshicha etanesva Yeshua, she brought down the miracle and the salvation. Becha batru, in you they were trusting. So that's what Hashem tells Moshe. V'zesh amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So Hashem tells Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you davening to me for? Amnam gulas mitzrayim oysal yedeva nitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu. Even though we got out of Egypt and you had the revelation in the snare because the Jewish people cried out to Hashem. Af shegam shamaya kitruk shalalu v'alalu ovdei avodah zarah. But there too, why there did prayer work? After all, the Jews were worshipping God as when they were in Egypt also. The answer is, achagula haysa mikoach avtacha. Hashem had promised Avram Avinu that the Jewish people are going to leave Egypt and they're going to leave with a lot of wealth. So because of the promise, the Jews are going to go out. And therefore prayer could be effective. Because as we said, prayer is effective when there's some level of a claim. The Jewish people had a claim. You promised to take us out. You promised to redeem us. So on the basis of a judicial claim of justice, prayer worked, but Kriyas Yamsuf, Hagili Agadol Shel Kriyas Yamsuf, the great revelation of Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Jewish people are going to see the Shechina, and even a maid is going to reach the level of the prophecy that's higher than Yechezkel, and say, Zekei Livan Veyu, this is my God, I will glorify him. Hashem never promised that to Avram. That's a new level. A level of Esavtecha. There was not a promise for that. V'imi kochem shel Yisrael, the Jewish people have to bring it about. So to bring it about through prayer, they couldn't, because they were guilty. L'chach amarlo, that's what he tells him, Matitzak Eli, what are you screaming at me? Da'abril b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'yisa'u, and they are to travel. She Yisrael yigalu es bitchonim ba'Hashem Yisbarach, let the Jewish people reveal their trust in God. V'yikvetzu l'toch hayam b'koach habitachon, and through a deep trust in God, jump into the sea. Al yidei ze yamshichu es ha-Yeshua, through that trust, they will arouse mercy and bring down the salvation. That's Hagilui Shel Kriyas Yamsuf, and the revelation of the Kriyas Yamsuf.
Rabbi,
mm-hmm.
It's not really the people. It was really Nachshon, right?
So there are different Nachshon versions. Really maybe he jumps in first.
Right. Maybe the people were still deficient.
So there are different midrashim and different sources. You know, the Gemara and Sota has two opinions. Whether it was Nachshon who jumped in first, or maybe the Binyamin jumped in first, there are different versions about how it worked out. But the bottom line is, whomever it is who jumped in first, he had tremendous bitachon and emuna. And that bitachon and emuna was going to bring about blessings that prayer couldn't bring. HaTorah HaKdosha Hi Nitzchis. Torah is eternal. Umlamedes bazeh, and it's teaching us a lesson. Hein li'ish haprati, both for the individual, v'hein l'klolus Yisrael, and for the collective nation. Shegam b'matzav shel lokai ekro yomu v'losane. Even if we are in a situation that Hashem, we're calling out to you by day and you don't answer. V'layla v'lodumi yali, at night there's no response. Even if we find that our prayers are coming up against a brick wall, Adayin Yesh Eitza, there's still another possibility. Bekoach HaBitachon, through enormous levels of trust, Shum Kitrug Eino Yachol Akev Ba'ado, nothing can stop, and no advocate against us can stop when we have great trust in Hashem. U'betosefes Biur Yesh Levayr, maybe we can add even further. Omro, Hashem says, Ma titzak elai, what are you screaming to me for? Dabri el b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people v'yiso, let them travel in. Hine kodem l'chem ksiv, beforehand it says, V'yisu b'nei Yisrael eseinehem, the Jewish people lifted their eyes, V'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareim, and Egypt was traveling behind them. So Chazal say, what do you mean Egypt? The Egyptians, which say the army. Amru Chazal Shiro et Saro Shel Mitzrayim. They saw the guardian angel of Egypt, V'chomer Kavas HaTzoman, all the angels of impurity. They were all pursuing them. L'chein Nisyarim Od, that's why they were very scared. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, and the Jewish people call out to Hashem. U'Moshe Amar La'am, Moshe tells the people, Al Tiro'u, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu Ru'u Es Yeshuas Hashem. Stand up and see the salvation of Hashem. Hisyatzvu, stand up. Hainu imdu al makomchem, stand where you are. Shahare b'schus emuna nigalu avoseinu mitzrayim. It's through the power of having great emuna that the Jewish people always get saved. Amar le Moshe, Moshe says, Yamshichu lamod b'koach zeh shel emuna. Keep standing with this emuna. V'yiras Yeshua Hashem. And in that way you'll see Hashem saving you. Achein HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar lo matitzak elai. Hashem tells him, what are you davening for? It's not enough that the Jewish people stand where they're at. El adaber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso, command the Jews to travel. Sheyikfitzu l'toch hayam, they should jump into the sea, mitoch bitachon b'yeshuas Hashem, with great trust that Hashem will save. Ki be'eis sheneemad u'miskaber koach al tiv'i. When we are standing and facing a supernatural opponent, k'neged zeh tzricha lios gam kein pe'ula b'koach al tiv'i. We need an action which is supernatural, lahamshich es haYeshua, to bring a salvation. Be'ez kazos lo ma'ila haderech haragila shel tfilos. Now turning to the second page. At this time, it's not enough to have prayer, ubakashas rachamim, and to ask for mercy. When we are facing a supernatural opponent, normal prayer is not going to be effective. But when the Jewish people are traveling into the ocean, it's supernatural that would work. And they're traveling with great trust. That's a supernatural act that can overcome a supernatural enemy. Inyan bitachon hu madrega na'ale yoser be'emuna. What is this phrase, bitachon? What does it mean to have bitachon? We talk about emuna, and we talk about bitachon. What is the difference between emuna and bitachon? So this is also something that the Chazon Ish discusses in emuna bitachon, and he writes the following. Ula ha'amur, he'emuna va'bitachon achas hi. Emuna and bitachon are really the same thing. Rak emuna hi hamaba taklali shel ba'aleha. Emuna is a general perspective. Ha'bitachon hamabat shel ha'ma'amin al atzmo. Bitachon is what the ma'amin thinks about himself. Emuna bebchinas halacha. Emuna, you could say, is like the law, what you should do. Bitachon is maisa, actually doing. Nekalios boteach b'shah shein ikara tafkid shel bitachon. It's always easy to say you have bitachon when you don't really need to have it. Makash liyot boteach b'shah tafkido b'emet. But when you really have the challenge, that's the challenge. Do you really have bitachon?
The word translated
bitachon
is trust.
Right. And emunah is faith.
Right.
So trust,
really the same thing.
It is. What they're arguing is that trust is an amplification of faith.
Okay.
In other words, if faith is that I know that Hashem made the world, and Hashem is in charge, and Hashem loves us, and He's so brilliant and unbelievably powerful. Bitachon is, He made me, He's running me, He's in charge of me, and He's taking care of me, and I feel Him taking care of me. It's the same idea, it's just amplifying it and strengthening it.
I would say bitachon is like a leap of faith. In other words,
or maybe an increase of faith.
Yeah, increase.
I would say it fits with the modern usage of the word, right? Security.
Right.
If one really internalizes that feeling,
beautiful.
And one feels secure.
It's true. That's very true. Exactly. There's a deep emotional feeling of tranquility and security. Equanimity. Feel I'm in the hands of Hashem. He's all in charge. He's all powerful. I'm fully in His hands. So therefore he argues, what is bitachon? Shema min ba'avas Hashem Eilav. According to the Nesiv Shalom, it's a little bit different from the Chazon Ish. Bitachon means he feels secure because he deeply feels how much Hashem loves him. He feels that Hashem loves him. He believes that Hashem loves him. And because he believes that Hashem loves him, this is already the Hasidic Chiddush, Bivada Yoshia also. Hashem will certainly save me. Because I know He loves me. Achen yesh bezeh shtei madregos. This is already two levels. Yesh bitachon b'shev al taisa. Sometimes a person feels such trust that he feels he's okay. Yesh bitachon b'kum vase. Then he feels so much trust that he's even willing to go do things on the basis of that trust, on the basis of feeling Hashem's love. Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, Hayadai be'emunu bitachon b'sheva al taisa, we trusted, we believed Hashem, and we didn't get up and do anything against what He wanted. Ulam be'et shamdu al hayam. But when we stood at the sea, kishayam lifnehem, when the sea was in front of them, va'ayev ma'achoreihem, and the enemies behind them, u'nachashim va'akravim mishnei evreihem, and they've got snakes and scorpions on the other two sides, azay yutzichem l'neis l'malam and ateva. They needed a miracle that's above nature. U'kdei laham shechaneis, to bring a miracle above nature, they needed such a great degree of trust in God, that the trust was so powerful it could even motivate actions. To do an action above nature, and give away their lives going right into the sea. V'hainu Moshe Rabbeinu amar hisyatzvu ru'us yeshuas Hashem. Moshe had said, stand and see the salvation of God. Hainu sheyachziku be'emunu bitachem b'yeshuas Hashem bo'ofen shel sheva al taisa. You know, trust in God, he's going to save you. That was what Moshe said. Hashem said, that's not enough. Alzeh amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata ein dai b'zeh. It's not enough to say, okay, I'm going to rely on God, he's going to take care. Da'abril b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. I'm relying on God so much, I'm walking right into the sea and I'm not even worried about the sea. The sea's going to split. Yeah, or something will happen. It'll be a miracle. God's going to save me for sure. Now we need a faith and trust that animates actions. Nachshon ben Aminadav jumps into the sea. Ubikesh, and he keeps walking till the waters get to his nostrils, and he says, Hoshieni Elokim, save me, God. Kivo mayim ad nafesh, the water has reached till the edges of my life. Al yidei zeh, through that level of emuna, himshichu es haneis shel kriyas yamsuf. They were able to bring down the miracle of kriyas yamsuf. And that's, you know, a very powerful thought that based on the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that the Nesiv HaShalom is telling us. It's true nationally, it's true personally. And sometimes we have situations, we're davening, and we're stuck. There's another approach, even higher, to jump in with tremendous emuna and bitachon Hashem. So I was thinking it may be, it's part of the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Sechet Sotza, Kashal Zavgam Kikriyas Yamsuf. Hashem makes shiduchim. It's hard to make a shidduch like it is to split the sea. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, Moshe v'yichidim b'isa, motzi ashriyam b'kosharos. Hashem takes individuals, makes them into a home. He takes out the prisoners at a good time. Perhaps what that medrash is, what that Gemara is saying, is that a shidduch also, at the end of the day, it's even higher than tefillah. A shidduch requires a very, very deep emuna. Bitachon Hashem, that Hashem wants me to be married with this person. And that's it, I have emuno bitachon. No alternatives, no other options. This is with emuna and bitachon. Hashem loves me, Hashem put me together with this person. And in that way, to build the home. Just like Kriyas Yamsuf really was accomplished through emuna, a shidduch is accomplished through emuna. And that's what builds the home. What builds the home is a very deep sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything and in charge of everything and putting everything together. I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein related a story. He's a very inspirational person. So he said he knows someone that the doctors told him he didn't have the physical ability to have children. I guess his sperm count was too weak. So he never tried to even get married. And he was learning in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka. And Rabbi Tzadka felt very bad for him. And he was davening and davening, and you know, nothing would happen. He was getting older and older. So Rabbi Tzadka told him he should go to Rabbi Meir Abu Chatzera, the Baba Sali's son, and go for a bracha and to have more emuna. So he went to Rabbi Meir Abu Chatzera. He said, I'm getting older and I never got married because I can't have children. So Rabbi Meir cut him off. He said, nope, you're going to find your shidduch, You're going to have sons and daughters. So he started crying. He was so happy. He came back to Yerushalayim. He told Rabbi Tzadka. Rabbi Tzadka went to Rabbi Meir to find out. Rabbi Tzadka said, you told him he's going to have sons and daughters. But the doctors tested him and they said he can't ever have children. I'm so worried you're going to disappoint him. Maybe you gave him a blessing because you didn't hear the other part of the story. He said, no, he's going to have children. And kachava, he had a shidduch, he got married, and he has 10 children. That's where Rabbi Zilberstein related. He has 10 children, Kanayin Ahara. So that's really the key when it comes to shidduchim, to kriyas yamsuf. It's a lot of emunah and bitachon. To have emunah and bitachon that Hashem loves us, Hashem is taking care of us, and hopefully in that way to merit to bring brachos for ourselves and for Am Yisrael. Do we have 10?